The reading this morning is from Matthew, and I've just lost my page. Chapter 1, 18 to 25, which is on page 955. So this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
I don't think my mic is on. Oh, now it is. Merry Christmas. Good to see some of yesterday's crowd here. Some old crowd from the recent past. Some new people that we haven't seen before. Welcome to Church in the Marketplace on this Christmas Day. Hey, that was a great little pantomime, wasn't it? Really cool. I have a pet hate of pantomimes. I know, I'm not a Grinch. I'm just concerned that sometimes we have a pantomime view of Christmas. That we see Christmas through the eyes of the children's pantomimes that we've all seen year after year after year for most of our lives. And that was a pretty high-tech one. That was a pretty good one. I like that one. They won't expect that, will they? What, in a stable surrounded by poo? I wonder sometimes if we get the wrong view of Christmas. I know it's small. What do you see? A candy cane. And fortunately, it's small enough for you to see it's not a traditional candy cane, but it's the only one I could find. A traditional candy cane is white and has three red stripes on it. One thick red stripe and two thin red stripes. But you see, the guy, the confectioner in the US, who in the 1800s invented the candy cane, did not in fact invent a candy cane. What he created was a J. He created a J for Jesus. That's what he created, because he was a Christian. And the white was there to signify the holiness of Jesus. The thick red stripe was there to signify the blood that he shed on the cross. The two thin red stripes were there to signify the stripes on his back when he was beaten. And the sweetness was there to signify the piercing sweetness of the love of God in Jesus Christ. That's what he invented. He invented a J. But you see, we take it and we turn it upside down and we hang it on trees and we turn it into a candy cane. You'll never look at a candy cane the same again. I wonder whether that's not what we've done with Christmas. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Mary, you're pregnant. Well, yeah, it was the Holy Spirit. Who's going to believe that? And how do you think Joseph felt? That the woman he was supposed to marry was now pregnant to someone else, and even if it was the Holy Spirit, that would have been hard to come to grips with. We live in a society these days where living together and having children out of wedlock, and we don't even use that term anymore, is considered to be a valid lifestyle choice. Now, I'm not saying it's the right lifestyle choice. I'm not saying it's a good lifestyle choice. I'm saying in the context of our society, it's perceived to be a reasonable choice to make. In fact, many couples never get married. Many of you are old enough, as I am, to remember that if a woman fell pregnant outside of wedlock, that was a huge scandal in our society. Women were sent away to have their children. 1960s, 1970s. Hey, back here, in a Jewish religious society 2,000 years ago, it was a massive scandal. It was a shocking thing if someone fell pregnant out of wedlock. Oh, well, it was the Holy Spirit did it. Can you imagine the whispers and the innuendo and the scandal? Everyone in Nazareth knew everyone else. Everyone knew Joseph. Everyone knew Mary. It was a small place. And yet, this is how God chose to bring his son into the world. They'll never expect that. Because Joseph, her husband, was a faithful man, a righteous man, he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. By the way, technically speaking, the punishment under the Jewish law for having sex outside marriage was to be stoned to death. Now, it wasn't a common thing in the first century, but that was still technically the law. He had in mind to dismiss her quietly. But after he thought about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Yeshua. We know that old term name from the book of Joshua. That's how we say Yeshua. And what does Yeshua mean? What's his name mean? God saves. Yahweh saves. It was a common name back there in the first century. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, whom they shall call Emmanuel, which is God is with us," which we looked at yesterday. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do and took Mary home as his wife. So, then of course there was this great census, and they had to schlep from Nazareth to Bethlehem to go for the census. Okay, all you women who have had babies, put your hands up. You're 2 weeks from dropping the kid, and you have to walk 120 kilometres over hill and dale, and when you get there, Airbnb has lost your reservation. And so you find yourself now in a stable. It had a feeding trough in it. Why did it have a feeding trough in it? Because animals lived there. Who's been on a farm lately? How can you tell that there's a cow around before you see it? Oh, it's just stepped in it. That's where she gave birth. Let's call it an intensely unhygienic place. Happy to have your baby there? Drafty, smelly animals. Oh, away in a manger. What's a manger? A feeding trough. Now, there was a nice little kind of straw basket up there on the video. Think wooden trough with caked on saliva from years of use by animals. Think that, right? Because that's what we're talking about here. Not some cutesy little manger. And all you had to wrap the kid in was some rags. It's great that we celebrate Christmas with fun videos like that. It is. It's great that we have the kids' service a few weeks before Christmas and the kids do their thing. It's really great that we do presents and Christmas trees and tinsel. But let's not wrap Christmas up in all that stuff. Because that's not the Christmas that Jesus chose for himself. Think about this. The only person in all of history who could choose the circumstances of his birth is Jesus. Jesus got to choose before he became a man. And as one of the little kids in the video said, well, we have to put him in a castle, right? And that's where you put a king. But Jesus chose the stable. He chose to be surrounded by blue-collar workers, shepherds, simple men out tending their sheep. And then he chose to call these magi guys to come and worship him. Chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. What's a magi? A magi is a wise man from the east. But what did magi literally do? They were astrologers and soothsayers. From the east, code to a Jewish person in the first century means Babylon. Remember? Israel was exiled in Babylon for 70 years in 587 BC. Those Babylonians, they were horrible people. So what we have is some sinners from hell coming to worship Jesus. Let me just remind you what the Old Testament says about this. Leviticus 19:26. Do not eat any meat with the blood still in it. Do not practice divination or seek omens. Verse 31. Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for they will be defiled. You will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Chapter 20, verse 6. I will set my face against anyone who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute themselves by following them, and I will cut them off from my people. You think God likes that stuff? Not really. And yet God invited these magi from the east. And if we had the local witches' coven come to join us here at Church in the Mark for Christmas, how would you feel? Comfortable? Uncomfortable, maybe? Well, that's these guys, right? These guys came to worship Jesus. We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him. Not the cutesy little white kitty star that jumped across the screen. A real star. What did God send to the astrologers? Whose sin he detested. Did he send them a prophet? Did he send them an iPhone with maps on it? Did he send them a scroll? Did he send them a guide? No! God spoke into their sin and sent them a star. What did that tell you about God? God chose all of this. This is not a pantomime. This is real. God chose all of this. What does that tell you about God? I'll tell you what it tells me about God. God may well have hated their sin, but he loved them so much more than he hated their sin. And so he invited them to come and worship his son. Amidst all this scandal and innuendo and discomfort and unhygienic stable, all of which God chose for that first Christmas. God invited the Magi to come and worship his son. Have you ever felt that you're not good enough? I have. Constantly, actually. You're not good enough to be in the presence of God. That you don't deserve Jesus. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because you aren't good enough and you don't deserve Jesus. Nor am I and nor do I. But God calls us sinners anyway. Maybe some of you have come with dysfunction in your family. People that you're alienated from. Arguments in your family. Schisms in your family. If you come from a nice, big, happy family, you are blessed and you're in the minority. Most people have skeletons in the closet there somewhere. Some of you have had a year this year that you wouldn't have chosen for yourself. Some of you aren't really looking forward to today. And so you think, well, am I invited? Yeah, sure you are. The reason he invited these sinners from hell is to make a point to you and me. If I can invite them, man, you're invited too. Come to the party just as you are. I sent my son because you're a sinner. I've invited you because you've made mistakes. You're called into this stable to worship my son because I love you so much more than I hate your sin. That's why I sent my son. God's thoughts aren't our thoughts. His ways aren't our ways. If you had been God, you would not have chosen that first Christmas to be what it was. You would have done it differently. I would have sent my son into a castle. I would have made my son's life comfortable. But God chose not to do that. He chose a foolish thing. Come with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when God called you. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God has chosen foolish things, the foolish things of the world, to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the things that are despised, like young women pregnant outside wedlock, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Jesus Christ, who has become for us the wisdom from God. That's what Christmas is about. Jesus chose for himself a humble station, a lowly station. Pretty much sure that none of you were born in a smelly, drafty stable. Anyone? No, didn't think so. God chose what is below us to make the point that he is prepared to humble himself for you and for me. God's having a party. It's come as you are. Never, ever be afraid to come to God because you don't think you aren't worthy. You aren't worthy! That's why Jesus came as this little kid in a stinky stable to say, I love you, in capital letters, in a way that you can never, ever miss. I love you. That's Christmas. Father God, you do things that we don't expect you to do. You came as a humble, lowly child, Lord Jesus, to say I love you in words that we can understand. Father, I pray for anyone in this room today who is struggling to come to grips with that message, who's maybe been tarrying at a distance, afraid to come to you. Father, may today's word, this Christmas message, this Jesus, impact their hearts by the power of your Spirit. May we all come and worship as the shepherds did, as the Magi did, and may we know the grace and the mercy and the love that belong to us through Jesus.